me because that means people aren't going to get results. Yeah. And then they're not going to come back. They're not going to use it again. They're not going to be this guy like we had recently who's like, oh, yeah, I don't have to take my acid blocker medication anymore because I've been using this aloe. But other quick highlights, it's great for immune boosting. There's constituents in aloe that are, again, healing to the gut. A lot of our immune system is in our gut, so that's also a benefit. But there's constituents of aloe that are good for your immune system. Hmm. So, you know, we can all use that. There's also some really interesting research that if somebody took aloe vera juice with vitamin C and vitamin E, it increased the vitamin's bioavailability by over 200%.
Wow.
So they absorb twice as much vitamin C, for example.
So you should take this when you're taking your vitamins, maybe.
And then the levels of vitamin C, for example, stayed in their body longer at a higher amount. So you get more value. Basically, you spend $10, again, small amount of money, and then all those healthy foods or supplements or whatever you're taking, you'll probably get more out of them.
Thank you for that, Steve.
Yeah,
fantastic. And I'm sure there's a lot more people can know. I encourage you to stop by Family Natural Foods. Ask Steven and Katrina, ask the team over there more about aloe vera. It's one of those beneficial plants that's always giving, as you two are. We appreciate the time. Thank you so much for being here with us and what you do for our community. Already looking forward to you guys hanging out with us again real soon.
Thank you.
Encourage you to follow them on social media as well, everybody. It's a great follow. And stop on by their store anytime. Thanks for being here, you two. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine here on AM 1320 WFHR.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Here's your weather forecast on locally grown radio WFHR.
With a look at your forecast, I'm meteorologist Ashley O'Connor. Cloudy and breezy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms. High temps are headed for the upper 60s. Lingering rain possible this evening, partly cloudy tonight with a low in the upper 40s. Nice tomorrow with sunshine and high temps in the mid-60s. Sweet, juicy California grapes from the fruit truck will be here soon, fresh from the vineyard. Reserve yours now at myfruittruck.com. Right now, it's 63.
58 in Stevens Point, 59 in Marshfield, 61 in Wausau, and here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this October 13th, 2021. Happy Wednesday out there. Right now, we are talking to our friends from Encourage, and we want to welcome them on the air. We have Christopher Gesch, Encourage board member, with us. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, man?
I am all right. I will tell you, I may lose you here. I am in the rural Northwoods with some spotty connectivity, so if I disappear, it's not that I don't like you.
I was going to say, not to take it personal. It's not. No, that's understandable.
No, don't take it personally.
Do want to, as long as I got you, though, do want to thank you guys for always doing this week and, you know, month after month. When we have you Encourage on, you always bring us a great guest. Appreciate that. And we want to welcome him in right now. We have Kyle Kearns with us right now, City of Wisconsin Rapids Director of Community Development. Kyle, good morning.
Hello. Thank you.
Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good. Good. Good to hear. So we've got some big things to get into here, and we only have so much time, so let's just jump right into it. The economic development generally in this city, that is certainly a big topic right now. And as we're getting closer to colder weather, and we've all seen the construction season and all this, you know, and you don't have to drive very far around town to see some of these things. So where are we at with that?
Yeah, and so today I I generally wanted to provide an update with regards to how it's fared within the community and then touch upon a few projects that the city's working on. But generally, obviously, you know, during the pandemic, economic development slowed, and we had pretty abysmal numbers in terms of new permits for commercial. Now, residential is a different story. A lot of people did invest back in their homes during the pandemic. But in 2021 here, we've started to see an uptick in commercial development. You know, you'll see it if you're driving around town on 8th Street with a couple new projects. The Starbucks continuing. Qdoba was recently approved, and Caribou Coffee. We've got the Conexus Credit Union renovation occurring. And there are some others that are in the works and up and coming. So we're seeing some of that restaurant and retail energy come back. And we've got some good news for 2022 in terms of some projects that are in the planning phases and hopefully will come to fruition moving forward. But it's still relatively slow, though. It's not we're not hitting the same numbers that we saw in 2016, 17, and 18 leading up to the pandemic. But again, I think it's good to see that there's still willingness from the private sector to, you know, still inject in the community, private dollars in the community and development.
Are you looking at these on the surface and just going off of today, right now, are you encouraged by these numbers, what you're seeing?
I think so, yeah. You know, I'd like to see a little bit more in terms of housing, right, in terms of multifamily housing and single-family housing. Those haven't necessarily rebounded. I think we still have a need for that housing within the community. We're a little bit constrained from a single-family standpoint, just in terms of, you know, availability of lots. So again, we're from a housing standpoint, we'll try to focus more on redevelopment as well in the next couple of years here. But the other thing I think that's lacking is, you know, the large developments. So if you look at, and I'm sure you've got some realtors on the program from time to time, if you look at just commercial sales of buildings generally, they've slowed significantly. And so we're not seeing, you know, the larger employers and the new developments, the larger new developments that we've seen in past years. But again, hopefully in 2022, things will improve.
It's so interesting to bring that up. We just had JR on. Yesterday we had our Let's Talk Real Estate, and the last 2 years I've been interviewing JR, and we've gotten to know each other. The most common thing that comes up is lack of inventory. That his industry, they have a huge problem with the lack of housing, that there's just not enough houses to move. There's plenty of people that want to move here, just not enough market out there. There's not enough, you know, material out there. And I hadn't thought about this on the business end of things. But one thing that I have heard from a lot of our listeners that they've kind of been curious about, or I don't think people have all the information on. Many times people will say, well, we have this business coming in. I have to admit, you said Caribou Coffee. I did not know about that. That's all I've heard. So everything that you said, all I've heard is Caribou. I love sure. that place. So I'm just going to use them as an example since that's on my mind. But you think of, oh, Caribou's going to move here. Well, I know that building's empty. I know that building's empty. I know that. Why are they building a new whole new building? Why would they do something like that when we figure this is, oh, it's hermit crabs. They just go into a new building, you know, and that kind of thing. There's a reason why that doesn't happen all the time.
Right, and I think, you know, primarily when it comes to franchises, they've got a certain footprint or a certain elevation set of renderings that you've got to construct if you want to be a franchise owner for certain franchises. And in this case, I think Caribou, Starbucks, the same way, they had, you know, certain types of square footages, and they'll have three or four different models that you can use, and it's always easier to build from the ground up rather than to retrofit an existing building. And from a site standpoint, many of those type of uses have drive-throughs. So again, it's easier to configure a vacant site to accommodate drive-through, parking, ingress, egress, things of that nature, than converting an existing building that has an existing footprint on an existing lot.
So I think, again, going to our listeners and what I've heard from them more times than not, a lot of them have assumed that, well, there's a debt on that building that they can't pay or something, and that would be turned over to somebody who bought the building. There's a lot of, like, gray area there for, I think, they think that a lot of people don't understand quite, sir, but there's a lot more to it than just that is essentially where we're going with this. And what I really wanted was looking for from you, and I appreciate that answer, Kyle, because I think that straightens it out a little bit more for people.
Yeah, and every, you know, every existing building has its own set of parameters and details. Hmm. There could be, you know, based on past uses, there could be contamination concerns. You know, the state of the building certainly comes into play. But I will say, you know, being in economic development, redevelopment is probably placed above new development, just because, you know, if you have a vacant building in a neighborhood or a community, it can be a detriment to that whole neighborhood and that whole area, especially if the ownership isn't willing to continue to invest within that building, and it can be an attractive nuisance that then can just degrade the entire neighborhood. So, you know, we place focus in trying to, you know, create partnerships to market those facilities, to work with the owner, to try to redevelop a lot of those properties. And we've got some examples we've done in past years, but again, we're, as we move forward, I think we'll continue to place importance on redevelopment of existing sites.
Most cities are run sort of like a business in a way, where you know your whole thing is bringing in people. You need more people. You need more people, more taxes, more this, more that, etc. So how do you get people to move to your towns? And Rapids, like many of our surrounding cities, like many cities in America right now, is struggling with that. But one of the things that we know doesn't work is having a city where your main street is nothing but empty businesses, or you have a lot of that in your community. So I think that also plays into the whole, well, why do we have this empty building here when we could just have somebody move right in? Those details that you mentioned about the specifics of a franchise and things like that, I don't think that's very common knowledge. It's important to have that information to go into this where, okay, well, that's why that building is still there. It's, you know, it just doesn't work for anybody that's want to move in there, or that kind of thing. We tend to see these, all we tend to see is the negative sometimes. And especially when it comes to our own towns and driving around town, and all you're seeing is empty buildings or whatever, when really there's a lot more usually under the surface going on. As far as like what you were saying with those developments of those two coffee places, for example, that, you know, we do have businesses coming in.
Right.
It's just they're building a whole new building.
Yeah, and I think in most cases, an entrepreneur has a business plan. They know exactly the square footage they need, the type of lot they need, the type of building they need. The same goes with typical uses, restaurant-type uses with drive-thrus. So, yeah, they've got it down to a T in terms of what's needed and, you know, it's, again, easier to construct what you need than it is to retrofit something usually in the place or usually existing.
You mentioned you were hopeful about 2022. That seems like something that is noteworthy, too. And I just wanted to make sure to just hit that one more time. That's a headline to me. That's a positive. If you're feeling that way and you know your stuff, man, I think we can all feel a little more positive about that.
Yeah, and I'll maybe save that comment for the end, but there are some, you know, good projects. I'm hopeful that'll happen in 2022 that will, you know, hopefully expand employment within the area and help us to create that sense of place.
In this particular area, there's a couple of topics that are pretty like, you know, number one Google search sort of thing. Outside of the Milwaukee Brewers, probably the next most searched thing is the paper mill and the recovery of that. And much more importantly, if you ask me, not to take anything from the Brewers, because that's certainly important, but this is a big topic right now. This is a big deal, and it's one of those ones where the longer this goes on, the more, I don't know about you or Chris or some of you other people out there, but for me in my position, I'm hearing a lot of people getting really, really frustrated about this the longer it goes on. So can we kind of touch on what you can give us as far as an update on the paper mill recovery and the redevelopment plan?
Yeah, so last time I was here, I mentioned, provided a brief summary of that plan and project. And if any listeners have continued questions, they can reach out to our office in community development at the city. Ultimately, we elected to hire Vandewall and Associates as the consultant to do the plan. And they were actually up here last week. And we met with Sunoco, who operates a mill on site, actually, within Verso's property. And they employ about 70 individuals currently. And then we also did meet with Verso on site. And they're currently employing about 130 individuals over there. So there's still about 200 employees on site between Verso and Sunoco within the facility. And again, Verso's employees are primarily related to the converting process within the mill. Mm. And so part of that meeting with the consultant was for them to start gathering data so they can start with kind of that market and industry analysis, meet with the stakeholders, better understand, you know, what parameters may exist, what opportunities exist within the facility, and just better understand the lay of the land. And so we were able to tour the site in a van. We did not go within the facilities except for the conference rooms we met in, but we were able to tour all, you know, or majority of the 1,000 or so acres that that the Verso Mill occupies. And I think it'll be helpful. I think the next step for the consultant, again, Van de Waal and Associates, is to start to compile some of this data and other data and then begin the visioning session with the community. And so they'll be meeting with several stakeholders. They'll be having some open houses and some surveys that, you know, citizens can provide their input and comment on for those that want to participate within this visioning step of the development plan.
I feel part of my job here is to play devil's advocate. And in talking with a lot of listeners and some of that, I think some of the follow-up to that is, why are we just now doing this? Why I mean, the mill's been dealing with this, and we've been seeing that there's been problems there for a while and all this, and it seems like we're a step or two behind on this. Do you feel that way from where you're coming from?
Well, you know, I think the writing's been on the wall for the paper industry for some time. Granted, you know, the city's involvement is relatively new in terms of, you know, playing a more proactive approach to what could be potential redevelopment. So this plan may not be implemented if, let's say, Verso sells to a private entity and they operate the mill in its entirety. But if not, if there are different pieces that can be redeveloped, you know, maybe 100 acres here or 100 acres there, we'd rather have a plan so that then we can follow that plan and that implementation strategy. We can pursue funding potentially if that would help, you know, private investment to redevelop the site. So we're a little delayed just because we applied for an EDA grant through the CARES Act funding, which we received. And then after that, we put together a request for proposals to solicit consultants to submit responses to that proposal. And then within the last 2 months, we obviously brought on board Van de Waal and Associates as the selected consultant. And then they'll begin their 12 to 18-month process to create this recovery and redevelopment plan. So I'm hopeful by the end of next year we'll have a plan in place at least. But again, a lot could change from now and then because, again, the mill is under private ownership. So we're limited on the control we have with regards to the mill and its operations. But we do have a good relationship with them, at least the local officials here with Verso and with Sunoco, and we're very thankful for them to meet with us last week and the consultant.
I just, you know, when Kyle was talking about the, you know, changes within the paper industry, you know, from the Encourage perspective, obviously we've all known that the industry has, and from the Encourage standpoint, you know, as we've looked at our work and particularly things like Tribune, in light of a changing paper industry, we know that globally demand for forest products is increasing. It's just different kinds of products than what we were set up to make here. And that's why, you know, we're encouraged to see this level of activity and interest and really attention to the assets that we have in the community, not just machinery and acreage as well, and what we're able to do with that. But, you know, this is a community worth investing in. And that's become a significant part of our conversations around what does support for innovation and entrepreneurship look like in light of a drastically changing industry that is so core everything about this community.
Appreciate that, you adding that, Chris, especially from your perspective, not just with Encourage, but your other ties and everything. I think that's an important note to make. And I'm with you on this because, to me, there are some silver linings here. And one of them is certainly that, and noticing like a stat that he talked about there about globally, paper is not, it's not like we're not using paper anymore or something like that. We've moved on to this product. It still has its uses. It's still needed just as much as before, just in different ways. And adapting to that and evolving to that is not necessarily
the product.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. If anything, we're in some ways we are ahead of the curve compared to some other communities when it comes to this. And I say this all with the understanding that there are people out there struggling right now, and there are people that have been hurting for months and I don't take any of that lightly whatsoever, but I think it's important to also look for silver linings and to see the big picture. And unfortunately, as hard as it is to say the word patience to people that are struggling right now, that is the only thing we can do right here is be patient. Like most things in life, if we want this to work, we've got to be smart about it. We have to let it develop and take its time. If we did it, we come out the gate and just here, throw some money at it. Well, sure. That ain't going to solve anything. Then we're going to run into the same problem like a week later or a year later or what have you.
Yeah, and I think Chris brings up another point.
Because of the people that we do this work.
I'm sorry, what was that, Chris?
I would just add that it's because people that we do this encourage, or certainly on from the city with everything they're doing, there are people hurting, and that's why, because we know that this is a place worth investing in, and we know that there are lives to be lived here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. That's why we do it.
Yeah.
And I want to note as well that this recovery and redevelopment plan, while the mill is a primary focus, we're also looking at areas surrounding the mill. So these could be other underutilized sites, the Triangle property on Jackson Market on the east side of the river comes to mind, the Tribune property. So we're hoping to rope in some of these other underutilized or vacant parcels, mm-hmm. as part of this redevelopment plan, because, whatever happens on those parcels may be a catalyst to additional development at the mill or vice versa. And so I think it's important for the consultant to recognize that we have other underutilized sites within the community, mm-hmm. and we want to place focus on those sites as well. So it'll be somewhat of a redevelopment plan for the downtown with a lot of focus placed on the mill.
Good point, and I appreciate you mentioning that. Can we get an update on the wayfinding sign project?
Yeah, so the city is looking to install wayfinding signs within a majority of the downtown. So this would include large trailhead kiosks, pedestrian kiosks along some of our existing trails. And we've contracted with Graphic House out of Wausau to install the signs, fabricate the signs, and they're looking to get some bases and foundations for the signs in this fall, and then come back in the spring and actually install the signs on those bases. And I think that'll be something that'll hopefully continue to expand our sense of place and define our downtown area, especially with those that use the riverfront trail system. Not only that, but those that transect through the city from Port Edwards to Buren or to the towns surrounding us, having this trail system in place will aid in what we have to offer our community residents and visitors.
I'm really excited about this, especially as not just for myself and selfishly or anything, but I think our community. This is a positive too. This is a fun thing to be able to look forward to.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. While we would have liked to have them installed, before the end of the year, we understand that there's, and when the community sees them, they're fantastic looking signs, very detailed signage, especially the pedestrian and trailhead kiosks. And so we're understanding that if we're pushing it out till April, that's fine, given the added components necessary and somewhat due to the shortages that exist with regards to materials. But we're still happy about it, and I think it'll be good for the community.
Good to hear. Now, with the last 6-7 minutes we have and everything, we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. Can we talk about 2022, the future developments? There are certain people out there that are yelling at me, I don't want to even think about next year. I didn't even get to experience this year. It seems kind of crazy to think of that, but we only got a couple months left. And in looking ahead, what are you seeing? How are you feeling about it, Kyle?
Yeah, so, we're at a stage typically in the fall where we're winding down with new construction permits for this year, but the planning stage for next year begins now. So we've, for example, the city's approved several additions onto the several schools within the community, Lincoln, Howe, Meade, Washington, which will hopefully assist with expanding their administration and offices as well as security. And so those projects will occur next spring, which again is good for the community and especially our education. And then there are other projects most of which I can't specifically identify who the business is or the industry, but most involve existing businesses, you know, that employ, you know, a good amount that are looking to expand. Mm-hmm. And so, right, we're having initial conversations with them, about the expansion, about the approval processes, looking at zoning, looking at options for them. And we're pretty happy about it because there are a handful, that could possibly break ground next year. In addition to that, we still have interest as well on 8th Street for a couple projects next year. And we also, we've got some interest in some of our vacant, buildings. Think of, you know, Shopco, former MC Sports building, some of the larger, square footages that we have available. We're trying to be a little bit more creative and, working with, individuals in the private sector to find new uses for some of those spaces because they are very large, like Shopco.
Because we're an information station and we really take our job seriously about news and everything, I happen to have it on good authority that there's a radio station that is actually going to be moving to a new building, too, in the relative future, near future.
You know, I may be aware of that as well, yeah. if it's the same radio station we're thinking of.
Yeah, it is. to us, we're obviously really excited about that. We love this building. We loved our time in the industrial park. It's going to be just a whole new love affair being out there and everything.
Sure.
We feel like we get to be more in the public this way. But that's kind of along the lines of what you're talking about here. You know, while we're probably going to move there before the end of the year, this is something where we're thinking about it as a 2022 kind of thing. And
right.
We're encouraged by that stuff, too, because it isn't just us. There's other businesses that are doing these kind of things. I'm really encouraged. I was thinking all about the business. I'm so excited to hear that about our schools doing that. That has a lot of layers to it as well. Not just certainly, most importantly, helping our kids, but economically. Those are jobs that's creating. That's an impact in that regard, too.
Right, and, you know, with the school district doing so many of them, you know, you're looking at, right, the contractors that are hired for those jobs, and you know, for one contractor crew, that might be the entirety of next year, depending on the schedules for those projects. And the one at Lincoln High School is very impressive in terms of the architecture and the engineering for that entrance facility. And they're great projects, and I'm hopeful as the coming months approach that others will be unveiled, whether it's the end of this year or early next year.
Hey, Chris, we've got a couple of minutes left. Was there anything that you wanted to add?
I would just say, you know, to the city, Kyle and you know, everyone at the city for your hard work. You know, we all know that we're in this together, and no one entity, whether it's municipal or, you know, organization like Encourage or whatever it might be, no one can move the needle by themselves. And what strikes me is even in the face of really some of the most challenging news that we've ever received as a community, when such a large swath of jobs disappeared, you know, seeing all of these entities come together and say we're all working towards the same goals, we're looking in the same direction, but we need to do it together. So we're just grateful, you know, for the partnership with the city, and certainly grateful to everyone who is at Encourage, whether it's, you know, donors or those who come to us seeking help or guidance, whatever it might be. That's what we're there for. And, you know, we enjoy doing our job, and it is entirely for the people. That was our founding mandate, by the people and for the people. Good to be here.
Appreciate that, Chris, and certainly appreciate your guys' perspective from Encourage. If I can piggyback off what you said there, another thing that we are certainly hopeful and encouraged about, as all the things Chris mentioned are certainly true, and one of the things that I've noticed in this job is every nonprofit I have come in, they talking about event, and more times than not, they'll say, yeah, we had a record number of donations, or we had a record number of this, or, you know, volunteers, or something like that. During a pandemic, people, like, that's impressive. That's something that you can hang your hat on. That's something that you could be like, wow, my community is pretty damn cool, that we have this, we're able to say these things. Another one is something like as simple as, you know, looking at focus. and looking at all those programs going coming together and being under one umbrella. They've been able to do so much more. Like, they already did tons of amazing work already individually, but coming together, they have been able to benefit our community in a way that I don't even think they understood they'd be able to do. So things like this that Chris is touching on there, I think that's really stuff that we have to make sure that we note these on a weekly basis.
I feel it's appropriate to chime in. One of the things that excited me about the position that I'm in now, and I've been in here, you know, working for the city for about a year and a half, but I was very excited knowing about the philanthropical efforts that mm-hmm. exist within the community, because even the city has benefited from a lot of the donations, whether it's the Aquatic Center or the park improvements, and projects like that that are capital improvement. When you're stacking it against other projects within the city, can oftentimes be very difficult to earmark, and we benefit greatly, the city and ultimately the residents do.
We are benefited by having both of you join us. Appreciate the time so much. Chris, always good talking with you and catching up. We'll talk again real soon.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, bud. I had to go to him right when he's coughing. That was so bad. I wish I would have known. And Kyle, we always appreciate you and your time. Keep up doing the great work, what you're doing for us out there. And we'll talk again real soon.
Of course. Thanks, James.
Thank you. We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here on AM 1320 WFHR.
And Minutes, William Shatner waxed poetic about it. For